Hi, listeners. Today, we've got for you an audio version of 80,000 Hours' newly updated review of careers that are related to AI governance and coordination, written and read by my research colleague, Cody Fenwick. Given the state of the world, these careers could hardly be more salient and important, making this a particularly valuable piece we wanted to highlight here. All right, here's Cody.
AI Governance and Policy, by me, Cody Fenwick. Last updated February 2024. As advancing AI capabilities gained widespread attention in late 2022, 2023, and 2024, interest in governing and regulating these systems has grown. Discussion of the potential catastrophic risks of misaligned or uncontrollable AI has become more prominent, potentially opening up opportunities for policy that could mitigate the threats. There's still a lot of uncertainty about which AI governance strategies would be best. But some ideas for policies and strategies that would reduce risk seem promising to us. See, for example, a list of potential policy ideas from Luke Melhauser of Open Philanthropy and a survey of expert opinion on best practices in AI safety and governance from the Center for AI Governance. You can find links to both of those and many other resources in the web version of this article. But there's no roadmap here. There's plenty of room for debate about which policies and proposals are needed. We may not have found the best ideas yet in this space, and there's still a lot of work to figure out how promising policies and strategies would work in practice. We here at 80,000 Hours hope to see more people enter this field to develop expertise and skills that will contribute to risk-reducing AI governance and policy. In a nutshell, advanced AI systems could have massive impacts on humanity and potentially pose global catastrophic risks. There are opportunities in the broad field of AI governance to positively shape how society responds to and prepares for the challenges posed by the technology. Given the high stakes, pursuing this career path could be many people's highest impact option, but they should be very careful not to accidentally exacerbate the threats rather than mitigate them. Why this could be a high impact career path? Artificial intelligence has advanced rapidly. In 2022, 2023, and 2024, new language, image, and video generation models gained widespread attention for their abilities, blowing past previous benchmarks. And the applications of these models are still new. With more tweaking and integration into society, the existing systems may become easier to use and more ubiquitous. We don't know where all these developments will lead us. There's reason to be optimistic that AI will eventually help us solve many of the world's problems, raising living standards and helping us build a more flourishing society. But there are also substantial risks. Advanced AI could be used to do a lot of harm, and we worry it could accidentally lead to a major catastrophe, and perhaps even cause human disempowerment or extinction. We discuss the arguments that these risks exist in our in-depth problem profile. Because of these risks, we encourage people to work on finding ways to reduce the danger through technical research and engineering. But we need a range of strategies for risk reduction. Public policy and corporate governance in particular may be necessary to ensure that advanced AI is broadly beneficial and low risk. Governance generally refers to the processes, structures, and systems that carry out decision-making for organizations and societies at a high level. In the case of AI, we expect the governance structures that matter most will be national governments and organizations developing AI, as well as some international organizations and perhaps subnational governments. Some aims of AI governance work could include preventing the deployment of any AI systems that pose a significant and direct threat of catastrophe, mitigating the negative impact of AI technology on other catastrophic risks, such as nuclear weapons or biotechnology, guiding the integration of AI technology into our society and economy with limited harms and to the advantage of all, reducing the risk of an AI arms race between nations and companies, ensuring that advanced AI developers are incentivized to be cooperative and concerned about safety, slowing down the development and deployment of new systems if the advancements are likely to outpace our ability to keep them safe and under control. We need a community of experts who understand modern AI systems and policy, as well as the severe threats and potential solutions. This field is still young, and many of the paths within it aren't clear and are not sure to pan out. But there are relevant professional paths that will provide you valuable career capital for a variety of positions and types of roles. The rest of this article explains what work in this area might involve, how you can develop career capital and test your fit, and some promising places to work. First, what kinds of work might contribute to AI governance? There are a variety of ways to pursue AI governance strategies, and as the field becomes more mature, the paths are likely to become clearer and more established. We generally don't think people early in their careers should aim for specific high-impact jobs. They should instead aim to develop skills, experience, knowledge, judgment, networks, and credentials, what we call career capital, that they can use later to have an impact. This may involve following a standard career trajectory or moving around in different kinds of roles. Sometimes you just have to apply to many different roles and test your fit for various types of work before you know what you'll be good at. Most importantly, you should try to get excellent at something for which you have a strong personal fit and that will let you contribute to solving pressing world problems. In the AI governance space, we see at least six broad categories of work that we think are important. Government work, research on AI policy and strategy, industry work, advocacy and lobbying, third-party auditing and evaluation, and international work and coordination. Thinking about the different kinds of career capital that are useful for the categories of work that appeal to you may suggest some next steps in your path. We'll discuss how to assess your fit and enter this field later. You may want to move between these different categories of work at different points in your career. You can also test out your fit for various roles by taking internships, fellowships, entry-level jobs, temporary placements, or even doing independent research, all of which can serve as career capital for a range of paths. We have also reviewed career paths in AI technical safety research and engineering, information security, and AI hardware expertise, which may be crucial to reducing risks from AI. These fields may also play a significant role in an effective governance agenda. People serious about pursuing a career in AI governance should familiarize themselves with these subjects as well. Now, let's talk about these six categories of governance work in a bit more detail. The first category is government work. Taking a role within an influential government could help you play an important part in the development, enactment, and enforcement of AI policy. We generally expect the U.S. federal government will be the most significant player in AI governance for the foreseeable future. This is because of its global influence and its jurisdiction over much of the AI industry, including the most prominent AI companies such as Anthropic, OpenAI, and Google DeepMind. It also has jurisdiction over key parts of the AI chip supply chain. Much of this article focuses on U.S. policy and government. But other governments and international institutions matter too. For example, the UK government, the European Union, China, and others may present opportunities for impactful AI governance work. Some US state-level governments, such as California, may have opportunities for impact and gaining career capital. What would this work involve? Sections below discuss how to enter US policy work and which areas of the government you might aim for. In 2023, the US and UK governments both announced new institutes for AI safety, both of which should provide valuable opportunities for career capital and potential impact. The EU began setting up its own AI office in 2024. At the broadest level, people interested in positively shaping AI policy should gain skills and experience to work in areas of government with some connection to AI or emerging technology policy. This can include roles in legislative branches, domestic regulation, national security, diplomacy, appropriations and budgeting, and other policy areas. If you can get a role already working directly on this issue, such as in one of the AI safety institutes or working for a lawmaker focused on AI, that could be a great opportunity. Otherwise, you should seek to learn as much as you can about how policy works and which government roles might allow you to have the most impact. Try to establish yourself as someone who's knowledgeable about the AI policy landscape. Having almost any significant government role that touches on some aspect of AI, or having some impressive AI-related credential may be enough to go quite far. One way to advance your career in government on a specific topic is what some call getting visibility. This involves using your position to learn about the landscape and connect with the actors and institutions in the policy area. You'll want to engage socially with others in the policy field, get invited to meetings with other officials and agencies, and be asked for input on decisions. If you can establish yourself as a well-regarded expert on an important but neglected aspect of the issue, you'll have a better shot at being included in key discussions and events. Career trajectories within government can be broken down roughly as follows. First, the standard government track. This involves entering government at a relatively low level and climbing the seniority ladder. For the highest impact, you'd ideally reach senior levels by sticking around, forming relationships, gaining skills and experience, and getting promoted. You may move between agencies, departments, or branches. Second, there's specialization career capital. You can also move in and out of government throughout your career. People on this trajectory also work at nonprofits, think tanks, the private sector, government contractors, political parties, academia, and other organizations. But they will primarily focus on becoming an expert in a topic, such as AI. It can be harder to get seniority this way, but the value of expertise can sometimes be greater than the value of seniority. And third, there's direct impact work. Some people move into government jobs without a longer plan to build career capital because they see an opportunity for direct, immediate impact. This might involve getting tapped to lead an important commission or providing valuable input on an urgent project. This isn't necessarily a strategy you can plan a career around, but it's good to be aware of it as an option that might be worth taking at some point. The next general category of governance work is research on AI policy and strategy. There's still a lot of research to be done on AI governance strategy and implementation. The world needs more concrete policies that would really start to tackle the biggest threats. Developing such policies and deepening our understanding of the strategic needs of the AI governance space are high priorities. Other relevant research could involve surveys of public and expert opinion, legal research about the feasibility of proposed policies, technical research on issues like compute governance, and even higher-level theoretical research into questions about the societal implications of advanced AI. Some research, such as that done by Epoch AI, focuses on forecasting the future course of AI developments, which can influence AI governance decisions. However, several experts we've talked to warn that a lot of research on AI governance may prove to be useless. So it's important to be reflective and seek input from others in the field about what kind of contribution you can make. We list several research organizations in the web version of this article that we think pursue promising research on this topic and could provide useful mentorship. One approach for testing your fit for research, especially when starting out, is to write up analyses and responses to existing work on AI policy or investigate some questions in this area that haven't received much attention. You can then share your work widely, send it out for feedback from people in the field, and evaluate how you enjoy the work and how you might contribute to this field. But don't spend too long testing your fit without making much progress. And note that some are best able to contribute when they're working on a team. So don't overinvest in independent work, especially if there are few signs it's working out especially well for you. This kind of project can make sense for maybe a month or a bit longer. But it's unlikely to be a good idea to spend much more time than that without funding or some really encouraging feedback from people working in the field. If you have the experience to be hired as an AI governance researcher, opportunities for this work may be found in academia, nonprofit organizations, and think tanks. Some government agencies and committees, too, perform valuable research. Note that universities and academia have their own priorities and incentives that often aren't aligned with producing the most impactful work. If you're already an established researcher with tenure, it might be highly valuable to pivot into work on AI governance. Your position may even give you a credible platform from which to advocate for important ideas. But if you're just starting out a research career and want to focus on this issue, you should carefully consider whether your work will be best supported inside academia. For example, if you know of a specific program with particular mentors who will help you pursue answers to critical questions in this field, it might be worth doing. We are less inclined to encourage people on this path to pursue generic academic track roles without a clear idea of how they can do important research on AI governance. Advanced degrees in policy or relevant technical fields may well be valuable, though. We'll discuss this more in the section on how to assess your fit and get started. You can also read more in our article about how to become a researcher. The third general category is industry work. Internal policy and corporate governance at the largest AI companies themselves is also important for reducing risks from AI. At the highest level, deciding who sits on corporate boards, what kinds of influence those boards have, and the incentives that organizations face can have a major impact on a company's choices. Many of these roles are filled by people with extensive management and organizational leadership experience, such as founding and running companies. If you're able to join a policy team at a major company, you can model threats and help develop, implement, and evaluate proposals to reduce risks. You can also build consensus around best practices, such as strong information security, using outside evaluators to find vulnerabilities and dangerous behaviors in AI systems, what's known as red teaming, and testing out the latest techniques from the field of AI safety. And if, as we expect, AI companies face increasing government oversight, ensuring compliance with relevant laws and regulations will be a high priority. Communicating with government actors and facilitating coordination from inside the companies could be impactful work. In general, it seems better for AI companies to be highly cooperative with each other and with outside groups seeking to minimize risks. And this doesn't seem to be an outlandish hope. Many industry leaders have expressed concern about catastrophic risks and have even called for regulation of the frontier technology they're creating. That said, cooperation will take a lot of effort. Companies creating powerful AI systems may resist some risk-reducing policies because they'll have strong incentives to commercialize their products. So getting buy-in from the key players, increasing trust and information sharing, and building a consensus around high-level safety strategies will be valuable. The fourth general category of work in this path is advocacy and lobbying. People outside of government or AI companies can influence the shape of public policy and corporate governance with advocacy and lobbying. Advocacy is the general term for efforts to promote certain ideas and shape the public discourse, often around policy-related topics. Lobbying is a more targeted effort aimed at influencing legislation and policy, often by engaging with lawmakers and other officials. If you believe AI companies may be disposed to advocate for generally beneficial regulation, you might work with them to push the government to adopt specific policies. It's plausible that AI companies have the best understanding of the technology, as well as the risks, failure modes, and safest paths, and so are best positioned to inform policymakers. On the other hand, AI companies might have too much of a vested interest in the shape of regulations to reliably advocate for broadly beneficial policies. If that's right, it may be better to create or join advocacy organizations unconnected from the industry, perhaps supported by donations that can take stances opposed to commercial interests. For example, some believe it might be best to deliberately slow down or halt the development of increasingly powerful AI models. Advocates could make this demand of the companies themselves or of the government. But pushing for this step may be difficult for those involved with the companies creating advanced AI systems. It's also possible that the best outcomes will result from a balance of perspective from inside and outside industry. Advocacy can also highlight neglected but promising approaches to governance that have been uncovered in research, facilitate the work of policymakers by showcasing the public's support for governance measures, build bridges between researchers, policymakers, the media, and the public by communicating complicated ideas in an accessible way, pressure companies to proceed more cautiously, change public sentiment around AI, and discourage irresponsible behavior by individual actors. However, note that advocacy can sometimes backfire because predicting how information will be received isn't straightforward. Be aware that drawing attention to a cause area can sometimes trigger a backlash. Certain styles of rhetoric can alienate people or polarize public opinion. Spreading mistaken messages can discredit yourself and others. It's important to keep these risks in mind and consult with others, particularly those who you respect but might disagree with tactically. And you should educate yourself deeply about the topic before explaining it to the public. We'll discuss more about the risk of doing harm later. We also recommend reading our article on ways people trying to do good accidentally make things worse and how to avoid them. And you may find it useful to read our article on the skills needed for communicating important ideas. Next, here's a case study on approaches to advocacy, the Center for AI Safety statement. In May 2023, the Center for AI Safety released a single-sentence statement saying, "Mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal-scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war." Most notably, the statement was supported by more than 100 signatories, including leaders of major AI companies, including OpenAI, Google DeepMind, and Anthropic, as well as top researchers in the field, such as Jeffrey Hinton and Yoshua Bengio. It also includes a member of the U.S. Congress, other public officials, economists, philosophers, business leaders, and more. This statement drew media attention at the time, and UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and the White House Press Secretary both reacted to the statement with expressions of concern. Both the UK government and the US government have subsequently moved forward with efforts to start to address these risks. The statement also helped clarify and inform the discourse about AI risk, as evidence that being concerned about catastrophes on the scale of human extinction is not a fringe position. And here's the fifth category of governance work, third-party auditing and evaluation. If regulatory measures are put in place to reduce the risks of advanced AI, some agencies and outside organizations will need to audit companies and systems to make sure that regulations are being followed. Governments often rely on third-party auditors when regulating because the government lacks much of the expertise that the private sector has. There aren't many such opportunities available in this type of role for AI-related auditing that we know of, but such roles may play a part of an effective AI governance framework. AI companies and the AI systems they create may be subject to audits and evaluations out of safety concerns. One nonprofit, Model Evaluation and Threat Research, known as METER and formerly known as ArcEvals, has been at the forefront of work to evaluate the capabilities of advanced AI models. In early 2023, the organization partnered with two leading AI companies, OpenAI and Anthropic, to evaluate the capabilities of the latest versions of their chatbot models prior to their release. They tried to determine if the models had any potentially dangerous capabilities in a controlled environment. The companies voluntarily cooperated with METER for this project, but at some point in the future, these evaluations may be legally required. Other types of auditing and evaluation may be required as well. METER has said it intends to develop methods to determine which models are appropriately aligned, that is, that they will behave as their users intend them to behave, prior to release. Governments may also want to employ auditors to evaluate the amount of compute that AI developers have access to, their information security practices, the uses of models, the data used to train models, and more. Acquiring the technical skills and knowledge to perform these types of evaluations and joining organizations that will be tasked to perform them could be the foundation of a highly impactful career. This kind of work will also likely have to be facilitated by people who can manage complex relationships across industry and government. Someone with experience in both sectors could have a lot to contribute. Some of these types of roles may have some overlap with work in AI technical safety research. And the final category of governance work is international work and coordination. First, we'll discuss US-China coordination. For someone with the right fit, Working to improve coordination with China on the safe development of AI could be a particularly impactful career path. The Chinese government has been a major funder in the field of AI, and the country has giant tech companies that could potentially drive forward advances. Given tensions between the US and China, and the risks posed by advanced AI, there's a lot to be gained from increasing trust, understanding, and coordination between the two countries. The world will likely be much better off if we can avoid a major conflict between great powers, and if the most significant players in emerging technology can avoid exacerbating any global risks. We have a separate career review that goes into more depth on China-related AI safety and governance paths. You can find that on the 80,000 Hours website. Aside from China, you might also consider work with other governments and international organizations. As we've said, we focus most on U.S. policy and government roles. This is largely because we anticipate that the U.S. is now and will likely continue to be the most pivotal actor when it comes to regulating AI, with a major caveat being China, as discussed in the previous section. But many people interested in working on the issue can't or don't want to work in U.S. policy, perhaps because they live in another country and don't intend on moving. Much of the advice above still applies to these people, because roles in AI governance research and advocacy can be done outside the U.S. And while we don't think it's generally as impactful in expectation as U.S. government work, opportunities in other governments and international organizations can be complementary to the work done in the U.S. The United Kingdom, for instance, may present another strong opportunity for AI policy work that would complement U.S. work. Top UK officials have expressed interest in developing policy around AI, a new international agency, and reducing extreme risks. And the UK government announced the creation of a new AI Safety Institute in 2023 to drive forward safety research. The European Union has shown that its data protection standards, the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, affect corporate behavior well beyond its geographical boundaries. EU officials have also pushed forward on regulating AI, and some research has explored the hypothesis that the impact of the EU's AI regulations will extend far beyond the continent, the so-called Brussels effect. And any relatively wealthy country could fund some AI safety research, though much of it requires access to top talent and state-of-the-art tech. Any significant advances in AI safety research could inform researchers working on the most powerful models. Other countries might also develop liability standards for the creators of AI systems that could incentivize corporations to proceed cautiously before releasing models. And, at some point, there may be AI treaties and international regulations, just as the international community has created the International Atomic Energy Agency, the Biological Weapons Convention, and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, to coordinate around and mitigate other global catastrophic threats. Efforts to coordinate governments around the world to understand and share information about threats posed by AI may end up being extremely important in some future scenarios. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, for instance, has already created the AI Policy Observatory. Third-party countries may also be able to facilitate cooperation and reduce tensions between the United States and China, whether around AI or other potential flashpoints. Now, we'll cover how to assess your fit and get started. If you're early on in your career, you should focus first on getting skills and other career capital to successfully contribute to the beneficial governance and regulation of AI. You can gain career capital for roles in many ways. Broadly speaking, working in or studying fields such as politics, law, international relations, communications, and economics can all be beneficial for going into policy work. And expertise in AI itself, gained by studying and working in machine learning and technical AI safety, or potentially related fields such as computer hardware and information security, should also give you a big advantage. Testing your fit. One general piece of career advice we give is to find relatively cheap tests to assess your fit for different paths. This could mean, for example, taking a policy internship, applying for a fellowship, doing a short bout of independent research, or taking classes or courses on technical machine learning or computer engineering. It can also involve talking with people doing a job and finding out what the day-to-day experience of the work is and what skills are needed. All of these factors can be difficult to predict in advance. While we grouped government work into a single category earlier in this article, that label covers a wide range of roles. Finding the right fit can take years, and it can depend on factors out of your control, such as the colleagues you work closely with. That's one reason it can be useful to build broadly valuable career capital that gives you more options. And don't underestimate the value of applying to many relevant openings in the field and sector you're aiming for to see what happens. You'll likely face a lot of rejection with this strategy, but you'll be able to assess your fit for these roles after you see how far you get in the process. This can give you more information than guessing about whether you have the right experience. Try to rule out certain types of work if you gather evidence that you're not a strong fit. For example, if you invest a lot of effort trying to get into reputable universities or nonprofit institutions that do AI governance research, but you get no promising offers and receive little encouragement, this might be a significant signal that you're unlikely to thrive in that path. That wouldn't mean you have nothing to contribute, but your comparative advantage may lie elsewhere. Now we'll talk about types of career capital for this path. A mix of people with technical and policy expertise, and some people with both, is needed in AI governance. While anyone involved in this field should work to maintain an understanding of both the technical and policy details, you'll probably start out focusing on either policy or technical skills to gain career capital. This section covers generally useful career capital, policy-related career capital, technical career capital, and other specific forms of career capital. Much of this advice is geared towards roles in the US, but it may be relevant in other contexts. First, let's discuss generally useful career capital. The chapter of the 80,000 Hours Career Guide on Career Capital lists five key components that will be useful in any path: skills and knowledge, connections, credentials, character, and runway. For most jobs touching on policy, social skills, networking, and, for lack of a better word, political skills will be a huge asset. These can probably be learned to some extent on the job. But some people may find that they don't have these kinds of skills or don't want to acquire them. That's okay. There are many other routes to having a fulfilling and impactful career, and there may be some roles within this path that demand these skills to a much lesser extent. That's why testing your fit is important. Second, there's policy-related career capital. To gain skills in policy, you can pursue education in many relevant fields, such as political science, economics, and law. Many master's programs offer specific coursework on public policy, science and society, security studies, international relations, and other topics. Having a graduate degree or law degree will give you a leg up for many positions. In the US, a master's, a law degree, or a PhD is particularly useful if you want to climb the federal bureaucracy. The article on US policy master's degrees on the 80,000 Hours website provides detailed information about how to assess the many options. Internships in DC are a promising route to test your fit for policy and to get career capital. Many academic institutions now offer a strategic semester in DC program, which can let you explore placements in Congress, federal agencies, or think tanks. The Virtual Student Federal Service also offers part-time, remote government internships. Students in this program can work alongside their studies. Once you have a suitable background, you can take entry-level positions within parts of the government and build a professional network while developing key skills. In the US, you can become a congressional staffer or take a position at a relevant federal department, such as the Department of Commerce, Department of Energy, or the Department of State. You can gain experience in think tanks, a particularly promising approach if you have an aptitude for research. Some government contractors can also be a strong option. Many people say Washington, D.C. has a unique culture, particularly for those in and around the federal government. There's a big focus on networking, bureaucratic politics, status seeking, and influence peddling. We've also been told that while merit matters to a degree in U.S. government work, it is not the primary determinant of who is most successful. People who think they wouldn't be comfortable in this kind of environment for the long term should consider whether other paths would be best. However, if you find you can enjoy government and political work, impress your colleagues, and advance in your career, you may be a good fit. Just being able to thrive in government work can be a valuable comparative advantage. A quick note on U.S. citizenship. Your citizenship may affect which opportunities are available to you. Many of the most important AI governance roles within the U.S., particularly in the executive branch and Congress, are only open to, or at least heavily favor, American citizens. All key national security roles that might be especially important will be restricted to those with U.S. citizenship, which is required to obtain a security clearance. This may mean that those who lack U.S. citizenship will want to consider not pursuing roles that require it. Alternatively, they could plan to move to the U.S. and pursue the long process of becoming a citizen. Next up, technical career capital. Technical experience in machine learning, AI hardware, and related fields can be a valuable asset for an AI governance career. So it will be very helpful if you studied a relevant subject area for an undergraduate or graduate degree, or did a particularly productive course of independent study. We have a separate article on technical AI safety careers, which explains how to learn the basics of machine learning. Working at an AI company or lab in technical roles, or other companies that use advanced AI systems and hardware, may also provide significant career capital in AI policy paths. Read our career review discussing the pros and cons of working at a top AI company on the 80,000 Hours website. We also have a separate career review on how becoming an expert in AI hardware could be very valuable in governance work. Many politicians and policymakers are generalists, as their roles require them to work in many different subject areas and on different types of problems. This means they'll need to rely on expert knowledge when crafting and implementing policy on AI technology that they don't fully understand. So if you can provide them this information, especially if you're skilled at communicating it clearly, you can potentially fill influential roles. Some people who may have initially been interested in pursuing a technical AI safety career but are no longer interested in that path might also decide that they can effectively pivot into a policy-oriented career. It is common for people with STEM backgrounds to enter and succeed in U.S. policy careers. People with technical credentials that they may regard as fairly modest, such as a computer science bachelor's degree or a master's in machine learning, often find their knowledge is highly valued in Washington, D.C. Most D.C. jobs don't have a specific degree requirement, so you don't need to have a policy degree to work in D.C. Roles specifically addressing science and technology policy are particularly well-suited for people with technical backgrounds, and people hiring for these roles will value higher credentials like a master's or, better even, a terminal degree like a PhD or MD. There are many fellowship programs specifically aiming to support people with STEM backgrounds to enter policy careers. We list some of them on the web version of this article in the section, Where Can This Kind of Work Be Done? Finally, let's discuss other forms of career capital. There are other ways to gain useful career capital that could be applied in this career path. If you have great communication skills as, say, a journalist or an activist, these skills could be very useful in advocacy and lobbying around AI governance. Especially since advocacy around AI issues is still in its early stages, it will likely need people with experience advocating in other important cause areas to share their knowledge and skills. Academics with relevant skill sets are sometimes brought into government for limited stints to serve as advisors in agencies such as the U.S. Office of Science and Technology. This may or may not be the foundation of a longer career in government, but it should give an academic deeper insight into policy and politics. You can work at an AI company or lab in non-technical roles, gaining a deeper familiarity with the technology, the business, and the culture. You could work on political campaigns and get involved in party politics. This is one way to get involved in legislation, learn about policy, and help impactful lawmakers. And you can also potentially help shape the discourse around AI governance. Note, though, there are downsides of potentially polarizing public opinion around AI policy, discussed more later, And entering party politics may limit your potential for impact whenever the party you've joined doesn't hold power. You could even try to become an elected official yourself, though it's competitive. If you take this route, make sure you find trustworthy and informed advisors to build expertise in AI, since politicians have many other responsibilities and can't focus as much on any particular issue. You can focus on developing specific skill sets that might be valuable in AI governance, such as information security, intelligence work, diplomacy with China, etc. Other skills could also be worth building. Organizational, entrepreneurial, management, diplomatic, and bureaucratic skills will also prove highly valuable in this career path. There may be new auditing agencies to set up or policy regimes to implement. Someone who has worked at the highest levels in other high-stakes industries, started an influential company, or coordinated complicated negotiations between various groups would bring important skills to the table. How this career path can go wrong. First, doing harm. As we discuss in an article on accidental harm, there are many ways to set back a new field when you're trying to do good, and this could mean your impact is negative rather than positive. You may also want to read our article on harmful careers. There's a lot of potential to inadvertently cause harm in the emerging field of AI governance. We discussed some possibilities in the section on advocacy and lobbying. Some other possible ways you could accidentally cause harm include pushing for a given policy to the detriment of a superior policy, communicating about the risks of AI in a way that ratchets up geopolitical tensions, enacting a policy that has the opposite impact of its intended effect, setting policy precedents that could be exploited by dangerous actors down the line, funding projects in AI that turn out to be dangerous, sending the message, implicitly or explicitly, that the risks are being managed when they aren't, or that they're lower than they in fact are, suppressing technology that would actually be extremely beneficial for society. We have to act with incomplete information, so it may never be very clear when or if people in AI governance are falling into these traps. Being aware that they are potential ways of causing harm will help you keep alert for these possibilities, though, and you should remain open to changing course if you find evidence that your actions may be damaging. And we recommend keeping in mind the following pieces of general guidance from our article on accidental harm. 1. Ideally, eliminate courses of action that might have a big negative impact. 2. Don't be a naive optimizer. 3. Have a degree of humility. 4. Develop expertise, get trained, build a network, and benefit from your field's accumulated wisdom. 5. Follow cooperative norms. 6. Match your capabilities to your project and influence. 7. Avoid hard-to-reverse actions. Check out the article on the website for the full explanation of how to mitigate these risks. Another way this career path can go wrong is through burning out. We think this work is exceptionally pressing and valuable, so we encourage our readers who might be interested to test their fit for governance work. But going into government in particular can be difficult. Some people we've advised have gone into policy roles with the hope of having an impact, only to burn out and move on. At the same time, many policy practitioners find their work very meaningful, interesting, and varied. Some roles in government may be especially challenging for the following reasons. The work can be fast-paced, involving relatively high stress and long hours. This is particularly true in Congress and senior executive branch positions, and much less so in think tanks or junior agency roles. It can take a long time to get into positions with much autonomy or decision-making authority. Progress on the issues you care about can be slow, and you often have to work on other priorities. Congressional staffers, in particular, typically have very broad policy portfolios. Work within bureaucracies faces many limitations, which can be frustrating. It can be demotivating to work with people who don't share your values, though note that policy can select for altruistic people, even if they have different beliefs about how to do good. The work isn't typically well paid relative to comparable positions outside of government. So we recommend speaking to people in the kinds of positions you might aim to have in order to get a sense of whether the career path would be right for you. And if you choose to pursue it, look out for signs that the work may be having a negative effect on you and seek support from people who understand what you care about. If you end up wanting or needing to leave and transition into a new path, that's not necessarily a loss or a reason for regret. You will likely make important connections and learn a lot of useful information and skills. This career capital can be useful as you transition into another role, perhaps pursuing a complementary approach to AI governance. What the increased attention on AI means. We've been concerned about risks posed by AI for years. Based on the arguments that this technology could potentially cause a global catastrophe and otherwise have a dramatic impact on future generations, we've advised many people to work to mitigate the risks. The arguments for the risk aren't completely conclusive in our view, but the arguments are worth taking seriously. And given the fact that few others in the world seem to be devoting much time to figuring out how big the threat was or how to mitigate it, we concluded it was worth ranking among our top priorities. Now that there's increased attention on AI, some might conclude that it's less neglected and thus less pressing to work on. However, the increased attention on AI also makes many interventions potentially more tractable than they had been previously, as policymakers and others are more open to the idea of crafting AI regulations. And while more attention is now being paid to AI, it's not clear it will be focused on the most important risks. So there's likely still a lot of room for important and pressing work positively shaping the development of AI policy. Where can this kind of work be done? Since successful AI governance will require work from governments, industry, and other parties, there will be many potential jobs and places to work for people in this path. The landscape will likely shift over time, so if you're just starting out on this path, the places that might seem most important might be different by the time you're pivoting to using your career capital to make progress on the issue. Within the US government, for instance, it's not clear which bodies will be most impactful when it comes to AI policy in 5 years. It will likely depend on choices that are made in the meantime. But we'll next discuss some of the places where we currently think someone could do promising work or gain valuable career capital despite this uncertainty. In the US Congress, you can either work directly for lawmakers themselves or as staff on a legislative committee. Staff roles on the committees are generally more influential on legislation and more prestigious, but for that reason, they're more competitive. If you don't have much experience, you could start out in an entry-level job staffing a lawmaker, and then later try to transition to staffing a committee. Particularly committees and subcommittees in the House and Senate are likely to be much more impactful than others in the field of AI. On the version of this article on our site, you can read the full list of which committees might be best to aim for. You might try to work on these committees or for lawmakers who have significant influence on these committees. The Congressional Research Service, a nonpartisan legislative agency, also offers opportunities to conduct research that can impact policy design across all subjects. We generally don't recommend taking entry-level jobs within the U.S. executive branch for this path, because it's very difficult to progress your career through the bureaucracy at this level. It's better to first get a law degree or relevant master's degree, which can give you the opportunity to start with more seniority. The influence of different agencies over AI regulation may shift over time, and there may even be entirely new agencies set up to regulate AI at some point, which could become highly influential. Whichever agency may be most influential in the future, it will be useful to have accrued career capital working effectively in government, creating a professional network, learning about day-to-day policy work, and deepening your knowledge of all things AI. We have a lot of uncertainty about this topic, but in the web version of this article, we include a list of different departments and agencies that might be best to work at. It includes many options within the Executive Office of the President, the State Department, the Defense Department, the Commerce Department, the Intelligence Community, and elsewhere. You can find listings for roles in these departments and agencies at the federal government's job board, USA Jobs. A more curated list of openings for potentially high-impact roles and career capital is on the 80,000 Hours job board at jobs.80,000hours.org. We do not currently recommend attempting to join the US government via the military if you're aiming for a career in AI policy. There are many levels of seniority to rise through, and many people competing for places, and initially you have to spend all of your time doing work unrelated to AI. However, having military experience already can be valuable career capital for other important roles in government, especially national security positions. We would consider the military route more competitive for personnel who have been to an elite military academy, such as West Point, or for commissioned officers at rank 03 or above. The web article also includes lists of fellowships, think tanks, research nonprofits, AI companies, and international organizations that may offer impactful roles. Want one-on-one advice pursuing this path? We think the risks posed by the development of AI may be the most pressing problem the world currently faces. If you think you might be a good fit for any of the career paths discussed previously that contribute to solving this problem, we'd be especially excited to advise you one-on-one on your potential next steps. We can help you consider your options, connect with others working on reducing risks from AI, and possibly even help you find jobs or funding opportunities, all for free. Learn more and apply at 80,000hours.org/speak. That's the end of the main text. There's an extensive list of recommended podcasts, articles, and books in the Learn More section at the end of this article online.